The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. It's also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Randy Scott, Nicole Briscoe in for Max. You can see us and hear us where? A variety of places.
So we start our mornings on ESPN,
yes.
7 a.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. And then we spend some time generally speaking on ESPN, too. But
yeah.
On weekends, generally on ESPN.
That's it. SportsCenter AM. We're on today. We'll be on again tomorrow. You can call the program. Join in the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to have our NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum, in about 10 minutes' time here on ESPN Radio, because there's actual football to get to. And I kind of want to go through this soundboard and try to find some, like, exciting, you know,
delicious.
What's this? Is that even playing? I don't even know if that's playing. Is that playing? I'm looking for. I've got screams here. I've got Jimmy Butler scream. I've got Steve Ballmer scream. Because we actually have NFL action to talk about, and it's there's storylines. The quarterback position is never drama free.
No.
And for so long it was drama free in New England until it wasn't, and now he's gone. But that's where we start, because that is the quarterback question of note coming off the games last night. Cam Newton, Mac Jones, and I'm not mad at them. I'm not mad at Cam, but he's doing everything he can to take the drama out of this situation. It sounds like they're actually
friends. Is it a competition?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, so you want to put it under that. This is a quarterback competition. This isn't a clear cut. Cam is starting, and Mac has to prove himself. This isn't a legit competition, and Mac has a legit chance to start week one?
That's
what we're calling it?
That's a fair... I think Bill Belichick, given his ways, we know enough about him. Which is like saying you know enough about, like, North Korea. And I say that because, like, he's secretive. It's a secretive regime. It's not forthcoming.
Did you scare him? That's a bad description.
Yes.
Okay.
And I apologize for it. But what I'm saying is, with regard to, like, being secretive and not being entirely forthcoming.
He's not an open book.
Exactly.
Fine.
But we know enough about him and his MO to say he's going to lean veteran over rookie, right? I mean, he leaned Drew Bledsoe over Tom Brady. And he says that he knew that Tom Brady was special.
But still, he says he knew Tom Brady was special, but Tom Brady was pick 9,000.
Yeah.
Mac is literally the first quarterback that Bill has ever drafted in the first round. So there's a little bit of a draft capital situation that's happening there. I think you and I are on the same page when it comes to, I don't consider what's happening there a competition. Now, if you go out to, say, Denver, that is a competition. It's not a competition in Jacksonville either. I very much think no matter what Mac Jones does in the preseason, that it's going to be Cam Newton who starts week one, and it's going to be Cam Newton for a while.
Are you saying that Urban Meyer is not telling the truth about his quarterback situation?
I also think that part of it is the way that the question was. I'm going to use the word question very loosely. Like, it wasn't asked of him. In a normal, like, hey, what are the chances? It was worded sort of, and it set him up in a way where he could be like, oh, there's a quarterback competition. Malarkey, BS, throw the flag on it. He's lying. It's a competition only so that they can, like, build up Gardner Minshew and be like, this guy's amazing. You need him on your team. Give me a trade.
Ah.
Like, that's what it's all gamesmanship.
Okay. All right.
Trevor Lawrence is starting week one. I'm not that dumb.
We're not going to lead. I refuse to lead with the Jaguars yet.
Okay.
We might do that.
Did I just go on a tangent?
We might do that in a couple months if they're first place in the AFC South. But let's get to the Patriots, who I suddenly now definitely want to call by a country name.
I feel
drawn to do that. But with Cam Newton getting the start in week one of the preseason, but only seeing two series, and then Mac Jones comes in for five. What did we learn?
Nothing.
From last night? I disagree with nothing.
I think we learned that there is poise in Mac Jones, but we knew that already. What we learned is that he's able to transfer that to the NFL level and rather quickly. But we also learned that he's able to ask questions. He's accurate. He wants to be perfect. And
yes.
Those are all things that he has to learn to accept some level of failure
mm-hmm.
because it came so easy for him at Alabama. So what did we really learn? Not much. Not much that's really going to translate when it really matters.
Okay.
And that's why I don't think it's a competition. Like, this is, it's just cut and dry.
It's a competition in the fact, or in the respect of, and this is, you know, blunt. This is obvious. This is, you know, basic to describe it like this. But there's one job, and there are two guys who want that job. So in that respect, two competitors are competing for that job. What I say we learned, though, is a level of, I don't want to say trust, but at least a level of comfort that Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. head coach in waiting in New England, what he has in Mac Jones. When you look at the air yards per pass, and I'm mm-hmm. not trying to get too in the weeds statistically, but I think it's telling when the average air yards on a Cam Newton attempt last night was less than 1 yard
but
within the line of scrimmage.
But that's also a massive difference between two different quarterbacks in the way that they play. Cam Newton is not the air it out guy. Mac Jones is. Mac Jones isn't the run it up the middle and make you, I'm going to make you bring
oh, yeah.
me down because I'm the size of Chase Young, but Cam Newton is.
Cam Newton is more, absolutely, of a goal line threat, more of a timing, more of a, however you wanted to, you know, multifaceted, versatile quarterback than Mac Jones is. But if you look at the system that New England has run for 25 years, it's been
more of a Mac Jones system.
Yeah, it has, whether it's Bledsoe or whether it's to obviously the other guy, I'm blanking on his name, Tom Brady, and now moving into the Mac Jones era. But what I'm saying is Mac Jones's average air yards was more than 7 yards. I mean, that's it's telling. It's like, what system does Josh McDaniels want to run? Does he want to run
that one?
The one that he's had success with, the one that he had to modify for Cam Newton?
I think it's absolutely that one. And I just, my only thing here is Kansas City had the template. Kansas City had the template, and it worked. And it worked with Patrick Mahomes. What's that other guy's name? It worked with Patrick Mahomes. They gave him a year. They let him learn. They let him practice. They let him follow. And then they let him attack. And I think if we see Mac Jones before the end of the season starting a game, we may see him in games, but if we see him as the starting quarterback, it is less about Mac Jones and more about what Cam Newton wasn't able to do.
The guy who's ultimately going to make that call, and it's all due respect to Josh McDaniels, but it is Bill Belichick, and here is the Pats head coach assessing the quarterback situation last night.
Yeah, well, definitely way ahead of where we were at this time last year. But, yeah, again, as I said, it's, I think, the same for everybody. Just, you know, practice and fundamentals and then taking that to, you know, the execution that we need to have at game speed. Again, for all of us, players, coaches, everybody, you know, not last night was the first step, but we have a long way to go, and we all need to improve in those areas.
I didn't miss the
on to week two.
You know what? I did kind of miss the monotone. Like he's in midseason form. Listen, everybody needs to get up to speed except for Ramondre Stevenson, fourth round pick in this year's draft out of Oklahoma, running back, 10 carries, 127 yards mm-hmm. and 2 touchdowns. So he made the offense go because it was actually the Patriots trailing at halftime 7-6. Again, Mac Jones, 5 drives. Cam Newton got the start, 2 drives. 49 yards, 4 of 7. Jones, 13 of 19 for 87 yards. Everybody protected the football. Nobody turned it over. Mm-hmm. There was a dropped touchdown, really a touchdown that should have happened that would have gone to benefit Mac Jones.
Well, what is it that you said about that particular situation this morning? And it stuck in my head because it rang true. It was sort of like the first real sign that this is a new Patriots team. Because Mac Jones went back to the guy that dropped the pass in the end zone.
Yeah,
and there
Christian
was a
Wilkerson.
Time, yeah. There was a time when that would not have happened. If you dropped a pass and Tom Brady was your quarterback, he probably wasn't going back to you. Yep. And Mac had faith in his guy to make it right the next time, and he went back. And I think part of that is because they're both trying to prove themselves, mm-hmm. and the trust goes both ways. Like, I can trust you, you can trust me, and that's part of this sort of this learning curve. I just don't think at the end of training camp, at the end of even the halfway point, there has to be such a massive collapse on Cam Newton's part before they're willing to throw Mac Jones in there. This is not, the Patriots are not the team that's going to go out and win the Super Bowl this year. they're better than they.
Don't tell that to the monotone we just heard.
Oh, I know, but that's a different story. The Patriots are better this year than they were last year, but this is not Tom Brady's Patriots. This is not that team. They still need a little bit of time. And yes, I know they spent a ton of money to build up that roster, and they mm-hmm. have, and they're better, but they need a little bit more. And give a little bit more, give a little bit more time for Mac Jones to develop. Now, in a couple of years, they're coming back. We can't keep him out of the mix.
I think it might be this year, and I say that almost
Super Bowl mix.
I say that as someone who has a fear of this franchise. Like, I live up there. I've rooted against them for so long.
Do you think that that's just ingrained in your soul?
Oh yeah, absolutely. But like, Cam Newton had COVID last year. Before he had COVID, he threw for almost 400 yards, had two rushing touchdowns, a passing touchdown against the Seahawks, almost beat them in Seattle. Like, he was a decidedly different guy. So I think if we're measuring Mac Jones's timeline at that position for that team, it's going to be dependent on whether or not Cam Jones reverts, like, or Cam Jones, now
you're
combining the two.
Up.
If Cam Newton plays like he did pre-COVID, Mac Jones isn't going to see the field. Bill Belichick's in no rush to put a rookie quarterback, throw a rookie quarterback out there.
No.
It's never the plan with Brady. Wasn't the plan with Ryan Mallett or a myriad of quarterbacks who've come in since then. It's going to be Cam's job if he plays like he did pre-COVID with better weapons. Nelson Aguilar mm-hmm. is there now. And
that's why it has to be such a massive collapse. It's more about what he can't do.
Well, the defense is better, too. Remember how many opt-outs they had because of COVID last year, including Dante Hightower? Like, it is a decidedly different roster, and I think it's only fair to measure Cam Newton now in 2021, a healthy Cam Newton, a non-COVID Cam Newton, compared to what we saw last year, which was a shell of a former MVP.
So let me ask this. If that team sort of exceeds, I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I'm saying they're going to be good. They're going to be far better than last year's. But let's just say that the Patriots even exceed those expectations this year. Mm. Do the Patriots essentially pull a Chiefs and they get rid of their Alex Smith, they get rid of their Cam Newton, or do you still keep riding the hot ticket?
No, I could see.
So is this like a one and done year for Cam Newton no matter what happens?
Belichick operates in his own class, though, in terms of equity built with a franchise. Like, there are very few head coaches who are bulletproof, who are don't have to look over their shoulders for job security. Mike Tomlin's probably in that conversation, uh-huh. Andy Reid. I don't even know that Pete Carroll is anymore because of the dysfunction with Russell Wilson.
Right.
Like, it is such a small fraternity of coaches who have that at that level. So I could see Belichick saying, all right, hey, we won 12 games this year. We went to the playoffs. We lost to the Chiefs. We lost to the Ravens. We lost, mm-hmm. Whomever. And now I'm going to go ahead and make that call of pulling Cam Newton, who played 15 games for us, let's say, and I'm going to roll with the kid.
See, and I see that happening too. That's exactly what I see happening.
I could absolutely see that, but I think there are very few places outside of New England where that could happen. So it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And let's get to the other, because I'm tired of talking about the Pats. No, let's get to the other. Let's get to the Keystone State bragging rights game. Eagles and Steelers last night, because the quarterback questions aren't there. I guess there's a backup question for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Dwayne Haskins or Mason Rudolph.
I don't know. Joe Flacco and Jalen Hurts.
That was fun. It was fun. It was.
It's not a question.
It was nice to see Flacco again. It was like seeing an old friend, seeing Flacco out there in an Eagles.
Oh, Flacco looks like Flacco.
Well, and he threw a touchdown pass, and it's going to go in the books. Like,
Flacco's numbers were way better than Jalen's, but he also played more.
He played more. And down the road, he's going to maybe tell his grandkids, like, yeah, I still had it at age 30, whatever. I threw a, 79-yard bomb to Quez Watkins. But that was a behind the line of scrimmage screen pass to Watkins, who, hey, if he's your wide receiver 3, because right now it's Jalen Reagor, Greg Ward, and Quez Watkins in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
And if Watkins has that kind of speed all season long, like, Jalen Hurts narrowly missed him for a 98-yard bomb, and that was a legit, like, down-the-field bomb. But he opens the season as the starter because it's a new beginning. It's a new coach. Nick Sirianni is in.
I kind of like his vibe, by the way.
What do you like about Sirianni? Because I'll raise my hand and say I forgot that he had the new head coaching job in Philly.
He's like the guy that your buddy's with that you either pulled off the boat after having a couple of beverages and you're like, oh, hey, we have to go to this business meeting after your afternoon on the boat. Or he's the guy that had he just seems relaxed. And I know that it's not quite the Dan Campbell of coaching scenarios, but there's just there's a vibe. No, why? Thank goodness.
In Philly? You think Dan Campbell would survive in Philly?
I don't know if Dan Campbell can survive anywhere, but I think he's an adventurer, and I like to choose that adventure.
All right,
like,
we'll get to. He's just, Dan Campbell.
He's a, anytime that man opens his mouth, he's a gem. There's just something about, and I think that this works in Philly because it's like the guy who just came off the boat and is like super chill going to the business meeting is going to let it roll a little bit.
Okay.
He still says that I have basically all the same jobs. I'm still doing the same thing that when I wasn't the head coach. I've just picked up a few new job titles. And I kind of appreciate that. And I think in a city like Philly, where there seem to be a few opinionated fans along the way.
Sure.
I feel like that is
passionate.
A quality that makes you someone that is a little less susceptible to some of the shots fired.
Okay. I think a lot of times, and we can say this as parents, right? Like if you're dealing with someone who is upset.
Uh-huh.
And who has raised their volume and has a problem with something.
And I'm getting really mad at you.
And if you and you counter that with low, no, you meet them lower.
Right,
like you're talking about.
The opposite is terrible.
It sounds like that maybe could be something that serves Sirianni well. But he's only going to go as far as Jalen Hurts goes. And Hurts was a bit of a mixed bag last night. Like the stat line isn't going to jump off the screen. 3 of 7.
3 of 7, 54 yards.
Right. Ran the ball a little bit.
But check out like his, you mentioned it when it came to Mac Jones, the yards per pass.
Okay.
He's north of 7 as well, is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, you'll take that.
Absolutely.
You will absolutely take that. Here is Hurts himself. We have that sound. Jalen Hurts giving his own assessment on his preseason debut.
I think it was smooth, especially being out there with a new set of coaches. I always talk about having a new situation, maybe. You have new experiences that come along with that. And it was good to get on the grass, get on the field with them, get that coaching from them, and talk about what we saw on the field. Definitely a lot of stuff we can learn from today.
Let's just be real with Jalen Hurts. Like the Eagles didn't do him any favors with their offensive roster management in the offseason. It is still, and Greg Ward is a nice find, but. He's your wide receiver too. Jalen Reagor is wide receiver one. And maybe that changes with what Quez Watkins did, but this is a run team. They're going to use the tight ends, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm probably a little frustrated. I'm excited about what Hurts does. A full season of Jalen Hurts, there is buzz, there's momentum, we're moving in the right direction. You would have liked to have seen maybe a wide receiver addition in free agency?
Do those massive swings quite yet. The expectations aren't sky high. It's like, you can go out. You can have an 8-8 season. You can have a 10-6 season. You can be improved. You can get better. And then when we spend the money to bring in those guys, now I expect you to win. And now you've got a season under your belt with your new head coach, the head coach who keeps saying, let's work on the consistency. Let's work on the rhythm. Let's work on the timing. And he has the year to speak that same Sirianni language. Then we're going to go out, we're going to spend the money, and now I expect you to win. And 10-6 isn't good enough anymore.
All right, what about the other side of the field? What about the Steelers? Ben Roethlisberger's the guy for at least one more season number 18. But who's behind him? And it's an important question because Roethlisberger, all right, he played 15 games last season, but to expect that at this level of his career, you want to have, that's why they brought in Dwayne Haskins, and he's competing with Mason Rudolph. Haskins looked good.
Haskins has looked good, and Haskins has sort of been the flashy one, but the contract situation is weird because Haskins is on a one-year deal.
So a prove-it deal, right?
Prove-it deal, in which you're not really going to get a ton of time to actually prove it unless something goes way sideways with Roethlisberger, which you never know, could. There's age and all of that there. But Mason Rudolph is under contract beyond this year. So that's like the interesting little tweak.
That's the but, right?
Right. So the Steelers could but this and be like, okay, let's just stay with Mason Rudolph and see what we can get in a trade or whatever and then trade away?
Yeah.
No, sorry. I did that in reverse. Yes.
I know what you... No,
I've been up since 2:40 and sometimes the brain stops working mid-sentence and I think I just reversed that, but you know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying. And the fact remains that the offensive line took such a hit through retirement, roster moves, injury. It was a problem a season ago in the second half of the season.
Their running game was atrocious.
And they invested in Najee Harris for this season. Like, they drafted him in the first round, but he's only as good as his offensive line, and we don't know how good the offense – it was good enough last night. It was good enough against the Eagles. That may not be saying a whole lot, and I think even Eagles fans would agree. Maybe their defensive line doesn't strike too much fear into the hearts. But let's hear from Mike Tomlin. We have Mike Tomlin on the lessons he learned from the preseason opener.
Lessons to be learned through tonight's performance. It's good to learn those lessons while you win. Even in August, you know, I tell those guys if they turn the scoreboard on, we play and play to win. So it's going to be exciting to just go through this process and comb through this tape and address the myriad of technical issues and problems that we created and Philadelphia created. Got to give kudos to them, and they had some challenging things for us.
All right, that's Mike Tomlin, midseason form at the mic, as well as Pittsburgh improves to 2-0 on this young NFL preseason. That was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A reminder, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Still ahead with Nicole Briscoe and Randy Scott in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show. What can we look forward to with the NFL preseason slate tonight and through the rest of this weekend? We're going to ask our NFL front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. Again, it's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Get into the groove. Nicole Briscoe, just sort of like singing under her breath here in studio. In Bristol, Connecticut, it's ESPN Radio. Randy Scott, Nicole Briscoe in for Max.
Look at that
on
grass.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, anywhere you go on Sirius XM, channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. That's the phone number to join the conversation. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's get out to the Goodyear Hotline and welcome in someone to our conversation, Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. And it almost feels like Happy New Year to Mike, right? Because like we get to see him more. He's part of our lives now that football's back, because he ignores us. He shuns us in the NFL offseason. Mike, let's just blunt, flat out, quarterback controversy in New England, yes or no?
I thought Nicole wanted to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know if I'm fully prepared to talk about anything else. So.
A great memory, Tannenbaum.
Dude, before you came on, I was like, let's talk about blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, we'll remind him about Jacksonville. We'll get to that later.
Great to be with you guys. I think that Mac Jones is closing the gap. And we talked about this a little bit on Get Up, which is what's interesting. Coach Belichick has obviously a long defensive background. I wonder if at some point we could see a package for both Cam Newton and Mac Jones, and where Cam Newton can attack a defense somewhat differently than Mac Jones. But if they go the conventional route, guys, there's no doubt that Mac Jones is closing the gap.
He's closing the gap. That's one thing. And I don't think that anyone is surprised to see that he's closing the gap. But realistically, when is the time for him to step into that role?
Yeah, it could be sooner than later, Nicole. You know, I was fortunate in 2009, we drafted Mark Sanchez at the Jets. Rex put him in from day one, and we got to the conference championship game. Look, that's unusual, but I think Coach Belichick, one thing we know is he's beholden to winning, and if he feels like it's even 1% more that Mac Jones gives them a better chance to win, that's what they'll do. And like I said, I don't think they're there yet, but boy, I don't think watching last night that Mac Jones is very far away.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider here on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. So, Mike, there's so many quarterback questions this time of year, but certainly coming off a draft class where you had five rookies who expect to see the field at some point this offseason. We're going to see the Bears and Justin Fields on Saturday against the Dolphins. I pencil him in as a week one regular season starter, not just because of the flashy videos that are coming out on Bears social media, but because of just what he raises ceiling-wise for your franchise, and the fact that he, the head coach Matt Nagy, doesn't have the, head coaching equity that like a Bill Belichick does. Belichick can afford to take a couple of years, right, to go ahead and see how Jones plays out. Nagy has to win now. Am I reading too much into the job security lack thereof, or do you agree that Justin Fields is the guy for Chicago week one?
I agree. Justin Fields is just a much better football player than Andy Dalton, and I think all he has to do is show that he has enough command of the offense that, look, he doesn't have the experience that Dalton does, but he's so much better, and he does give him a better chance to win it. And I think you're right. You know, Coach Nagy's talked about, hey, the Kansas City paradigm where you have Alex Smith for today and then you sit Mahomes for year one and the rest is history. But I don't think he has that luxury. And I think at the end of the day, you know, Justin Fields gives him the best chance to win.
But how does that impact the development of Justin Fields? Because let's be honest, the Bears also don't have the quarterback pedigree. This is a team that has rolled through quarterbacks a little like the Cleveland Browns jersey. So if they throw Justin Fields in too quickly, in part because this is a we have to win, otherwise I'm going to lose my job situation, how does that impact his development and his readiness?
Yeah, no, it's a very fair point. But again, I think the honest, sober analysis at the end of the day for Matt Nagy has to be who gives me the best chance to win. And look, it's not ideal because none of these quarterbacks are going to be, you know, ready to go. I mean, we're talking about Jordan Love, who hasn't played a game in 2 years. He didn't even dress last year as Aaron Rodgers' backup. So it's not perfect for any of them, but I think the sober analysis at the end of the day is Justin Fields gives us a better chance to win football games right now, and he'll get better as the year goes on.
Do we want to talk about Jordan Love?
Go ahead. He opened the door.
I don't. Like, what, from your experience in a front office and the way that you have seen this Green Bay soap opera play out, like, they've talked now about this possibility of, oh, maybe we'll bring Aaron Rodgers back for a little bit longer. And I think, like, in my head, as the Wisconsin girl, as the Green Bay fan, that's what I want to hear, because I think the win now scenario is more likely than if you bring in Jordan Love. But as a front office person, like, how should I read into everything that's happened and all of the dialogue that's happened and how it's all changed over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it comes down to this. I don't think losing Aaron Rodgers is consequential to the Green Bay front office for next year. I think if they don't win next year, that's what's consequential. And when they moved on from Brett Favre, as you well know, Nicole, they knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers, and obviously the rest is history. They need to know in the next 3 weeks what they have in Jordan Love. And remember, they traded up for him in the first round. So that's a big, big difference. And I think these next 3 weeks are really important to understand what do they have in Jordan Love. Can they win with him or not? Because it just seems like to me, unless something changes dramatically, I don't think Aaron Rodgers will be there next year.
We're talking with Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider. It's Nicole Briscoe and Randy Scott in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. You can take this anywhere you want, Mike. We can get out of the quarterback conversation if you want. But what rookie are you most looking forward to seeing this week and really the first full slate of NFL preseason that we've had?
Yeah, I think right up at the top, you know, Zach Wilson going against, you know, an improved Giant defense. And, you know, here's a guy that they drafted. There's nobody behind him. You know, not that Trevor Lawrence is going to wind up starting in Jacksonville, but, you know, they do have Gardner Minshew. But, you know, Zach Wilson, second pick overall, cut Sam Darnold. And, you know, look, the rest is history. So, love to see what he can do. And to their credit, you know, it's Zach Wilson all the way. And let's see what he has starting tomorrow against the Giants.
Who to this point has been the most important add to a roster?
You know what's interesting? Like, we were talking about this a little bit this morning. I think the Dwayne Haskins signing is somewhat underrated. Oh. I think what Pittsburgh did was really smart. You know, he was a former first-round pick out of Ohio State with Washington. Didn't work out there, obviously. But they need to find somebody that could be the future there. It's not Doug Hodges. It's not Mason Rudolph. And if I'm a Steeler fan, I'm encouraged by what I saw last night from Dwayne Haskins. I need to see a lot more. But when you're in that position, and I've been there, you want to scour for alternatives and possibilities in terms of, you know, quarterbacks. So I think Haskins was an underrated and very important signing.
Why do the Steelers make a good fit for Haskins? Because obviously this is a guy who in his first, you know, couple of years in the league, he needed the people around him to support him for a variety of reasons. So why is that something that could potentially work in Pittsburgh?
Because Mike Tomlin is a super coach, and he is a guy that's gotten the most out of players for whatever it is now, 14 years, and never had a losing record. And he's, you know, a difference maker. And if he could get the most out of Dwayne Haskins, they may have something really special. And, you know, we've seen a lot in our league of players benefiting from a second, sometimes third chance. And hopefully Dwayne Haskins learned from his experience in Washington, gets a fresh start. And, you know, this is one of the reasons coaching matters, and we're seeing the greatness of Mike Tomlin.
I think getting away from his hometown maybe will help a guy in Dwayne Haskins who has a ton of talent, mm-hmm. a ton of talent. We haven't seen it I certainly haven't seen the ceiling of it at an NFL level. Mike Tannenbaum, we appreciate it. We'll talk Jaguars next time.
Oh, we didn't get to Jags?
We'll get to it. He touched on Trevor Lawrence, but we'll go in-depth on the
letting him get away
with quarterback battle. Thanks, Mikey T. We appreciate it. Does anybody call him Mikey T?
Thank you.
I think it's a good thing
They should.
Mikey T.
Mac Jones was in the zone last night, looking good in his first NFL action. Get in the zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. One thing that Tannenbaum, classic GM to sort of like take a question where we're like, oh, well, you know, is it Julio Jones? Like, what's the most impactful addition? Is it Julio Jones? Is it Matt Stafford or whatever? He goes, let's go backup quarterback. Let's go backup quarterback who doesn't even have the backup job
yet. It's not just a backup quarterback. It's the backup quarterback for a franchise that you know is at the tail end of a long-term relationship with Ben Roethlisberger.
That's very, very fair. All right, still ahead on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Did baseball finally get it right with the Field of Dreams game? And perhaps what does that mean for the future of a showcase like that for a sport who needs buzz like they got on a Thursday night? That with Nicole Briscoe and Randy Scott in for Max on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. And a reminder, tune in to an NL battle Sunday as the Mets host the Dodgers. It's presented by Samsung Galaxy. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, and at 7 p.m. on ESPN.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Are you zoning out?
That's my jam. This is more my speed.
There's a fun game that we could play where we just sort of like dovetail the first part of our show with what we're getting into now. Who had a better Thursday night? Mac Jones?
Not me.
Or Major League Baseball? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Randy Scott and Nicole Briscoe in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN is the phone number to join the conversation. 888-729-3776. This MLB review is brought to you by Samsung Galaxy. Shop the impressive Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 3 5G and Z Flip 3 5G at Samsung.com. And we asked that because Mac Jones, I think his debut went about as well as it could have in the preseason.
Yeah, but it's a preseason game. Right. Well, played a couple of snaps. It went okay. It went great by some standards. It is not what happened in Iowa.
But you could say, well, it was just one regular season game, and it was bad pitching and damaged crops because there were home runs. But in all seriousness, that Field of Dreams game kept me awake last night. Like, I was trying to go to sleep. You know what the wake-up is for SportsCenter AM.
Where it's not fun, guys.
Where you can watch this. So I was like, all right, I got to go to sleep. But the game and the visuals, it was amazing.
So I hate contrived. I hate things that are forced. Especially in sports. I love events that through history or time have like a natural pageantry. The history, like the Indianapolis 500, that there's their history and the pageantry is there because it's 100 and some years in the making. So I was a little reserved going into the Field of Dreams game.
Right.
And it blew me out of the water. Like the Kevin Costner part, the players just so casually walking out of the corn. The Sox uniforms.
So good.
Can they please wear them all the time? Retire everything else that you have in like the quote-unquote closet. Just wear that. I mean, Mother Nature played along with the most ridiculously perfect sunset of all time. And then you throw in what happened in the game, and it was amazing.
It was perfect. It was a perfect game. It was a night of perfection for Major League Baseball. It was a bridge. It was a bridge connecting the fans who are old enough and diehard enough and nostalgic enough and romantic enough to appreciate Field of Dreams.
Right.
And to lionize that film.
But you and I are not really in that era where, like, Field of Dreams came out when I was 8. You were what, 6?
7.
I was 7. Like, yeah, we're not exactly in an age group that's like, oh, Field of Dreams, one of the greatest movies of all time, because I can remember watching it when it came out. Like, no, I was probably more into what, Barbie's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't remember really being 8.
Heroes in a Half Shell.
But probably Field of Dreams Turtle was Pop. Not straight up there. Michelangelo was my favorite, I think.
Yeah.
He was the nunchucks guy, right?
The guy in the video game to play with was Donatello. That was my guy.
Didn't have that guy.
That's fine.
Bottom line is I still appreciated it. There's a classic part of it that drew me in.
Well,
like, and they bought in. Like, it wasn't just like, we're going to we're going to half, you know what, this. The scoreboard was straight out of some like Hollywood set with the ladders and the big numbers. It was perfection.
The detail, the attention to detail to make it, as you said, contrived, but it was.
It was good looking corn.
It was
too.
Throwback. But where I say it's a bridge, it was a connection from old head baseball fans, seam head diehards, to the new generation that baseball admittedly has been in danger of losing, right? And missing out on. And they connected in a way where it was like, look at this entirely different way to present a game, to play a game. And then, oh, by the way, there are 8 home runs. It was like a little kid. It was like a child was pressing buttons and saying, okay, now Giancarlo Stanton goes yard. And now Aaron Judge goes yard.
And all this is going to happen in the 9th inning.
And Judge goes yard again. And then one of the best, most exciting, electrifying young stars, Tim Anderson, walks it off and wins it. So, yeah, pitching took a hit. And the crops literally took a hit because these fly balls, these home run balls went into corn.
And then the fireworks.
But it was still amazing. So, yes, baseball got it right. I want to hear from this is Tim Anderson. And then a losing manager in Aaron Boone doesn't sound like a guy who lost the game. Oh, do I play it? Do I have it? Oh, I missed it. I misfired on it. But Tim Anderson was himself not yet born when that movie came out.
No.
And was so appreciative of the moment. And he said we wanted to give the fans a show, and he was such a huge part of it.
And think of all the big moments that Aaron Boone has been in.
Yeah.
He said that this was one of the coolest things that he has ever done in baseball,
and that's,
period.
And that's a guy who ended.
I think it's the biggest thing for baseball since the 2016 series. World Series.
Since the 16 World Series?
Since the Cubs and the Indians and Game 7, and the Cubs finally won after all that time. Yeah. You go from that to this, and those are the two biggest moments for baseball.
Go from drama there to perhaps drama in the quarterback room in New England. Do we have a controversy with the Patriots? On the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.